Why see a movie in a soulless multiplex when you can see it at a cultural icon? Seattle Cinerama is a way to experience pop culture inside pop culture. Since originally opening in 1963, a year after the Seattle World's Fair, its distinctive red and blue folding logo has meant cutting-edge entertainment technology. But not without dramatic ups and downs, not unlike the plots of some of the films that have played in it for over 55 years, just north of downtown in the Belltown neighborhood. Welcome to GeekWire from GeekWire.com in Seattle. I'm Frank Catalano, GeekWire contributor and host of this special interview series with some of the leading voices of popular culture, science fiction, and the arts. I'm pleased to be joined by Ethan Caldwell. Ethan is the manager of Cinerama. And we're standing, well, just in the lobby here of the historic theater to start walking through what theatergoers see and what they don't, and what makes Cinerama a unique experience in Seattle. Hello, Ethan.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So we're in the lobby. Let's step outside just for a minute into the busy city street in this Belltown area. And the reason we're doing this is to take a look at the facade. I'm just curious, when somebody walks by Cinerama and sees this facade, what do you hope they think?
Well, we hope they think movies, first and foremost. Up until 2014, Cinerama's exterior was essentially just a big box, a big beige-colored box. And in the fall of 2014, we commissioned Invisible Creature, a local design firm, to create this gorgeous mural that's on the exterior of our building, which harkens back to pretty much every era of cinema. You know, the golden era, you've got your epics, you've got your westerns, lots of science fiction, lots of fantasy. And so that's what we really wanted to remind people of when they're driving past Seattle's Movie Palace.
All right, so let's walk back inside into the lobby area and get a feel for this because, you know, I think one thing people will notice when they first walk in here, too, is it's sort of got this kind of mid-century retro feel to it. Is that purposeful?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Cinerama was built in 1963, and, you know, we just never let go of 1963. Everything you see in here is, for the most part, original. Obviously, the carpets have been changed out. We've repainted several times, but the bones of this building are unchanged.
So what has this building meant to Seattle? What does Cinerama mean to Seattle? And I guess specifically, since you talked about the call-outs to science fiction films and classics, to the science fiction community here.
Well, science fiction, it's an important piece of our history. When 2001 A Space Odyssey opened, Cinerama ran it for 18 months straight. It was actually the longest run theatrically for 2001 A Space Odyssey. And that really set the tone. 10 years later, Cinerama opened Star Wars, and the rest is history.
So let's take a walk through the lobby area and go up the stairs. So in this area here, what are some touches as we go up these stairs and go into the main theater that people may not consciously recognize, but are the kind of part of the setting of the scene, if you will, of the pre-show, if you will, for the show?
The pre-show, yeah. As you walk up the stairs, you're going to notice the wallpaper, which is definitely very mid-century, very retro. And
it's blue and green and kind of blocky, right?
That's correct, yeah. A lot of people think it's hideous. I love it. I think it's perfect for the building. And as you walk into the auditorium, you know, you look around and the room just looks like a spaceship. It truly does. And you look at our screen when the curtains open, and I like to think of it as the window looking out of the spaceship.
So the screen is slightly curved. Is that correct? Is this and this is the normal, regular film screen?
That's correct. Yeah, it has a very slight curve to it. Cinerama's history lives behind this screen, actually. So we have two screens on site. The three-strip, deeply curved Cinerama screen lives just behind what you're currently looking at right now.
Is that trotted out very often for films?
We last brought it out in 2013. It's quite the undertaking, actually. We have to tear down the existing screen, tear down the sound wall, and then erect the three panels of the 146-degree curved screen and the sound wall for that curved screen.
How many pieces are in that curved screen?
2,000. There's 2,000 louvered strips.
Wow. And I assume it's one reason it's not used very often, aside from the difficulty in getting everything set up, is that Cinerama is really not a film format that's used anymore.
That's correct. Yeah. There's actually only two films that we're still capable of showing in the original Cinerama format, and that's This Is Cinerama and How the West Was Won.
And those, I understand, were partly underwritten in terms of redoing them so they could be shown again by Paul Allen himself. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Paul had these prints remade not too terribly long ago, and so we have two beautifully pristine prints of This Is Cinerama and How the West Was Won. So very, very unique, very special.
That actually kind of begs a question, too. The theater is called Cinerama, about a format that really isn't being used anymore. What does Cinerama then mean as a word these days?
Well, it's interesting that you pronounce it Cinerama, because the correct pronunciation is Cinerama, because it was a cinema panorama.
So that's what it means today, basically, is it? It's the meaning has morphed to become something more than the actual format.
Yeah, that's correct. Cinerama to us just really embodies everything that is film. We pride ourselves on doing everything right from 35 millimeter to 70 millimeter to first run digital content. And so we just try to embody everything.
So let's take a walk then through the spaceship, if you will, the command center of the spaceship, which happens to have red chairs, which recline, that are reserved seating, which I think I will admit here that I'm a frequent goer to Cinerama, primarily because of the fact that my 6'4" frame can fit into these seats pretty comfortably. So we're walking by these seats. We're going all the way up to the very back of the main floor, and we're entering a room that most people don't get a chance to go into. And it's the projection area. And I guess if you could describe, Ethan, for me, as we walk into this projection room, what are we looking at in here?
You are looking at, as you said, the command center. We have five different projectors in this room. So we have, on the left, our two dual 35-70mm projectors for reel-to-reel presentations. We use these. We roll them out for all of our 70mm film festivals. And in the center of the room, we have our two dual 4K laser projectors, and then on the right side we have the original Cinerama 35mm projector that lives in here as well. And if you look to the far right of the room, we are actually currently inspecting our unrestored print of 2001 A Space Odyssey that's set to play next month.
So that's on two huge reels that are about, 2 feet across?
Yeah, just about. And on those reels is 70mm film stock.
Out of curiosity then, what about audio? I mean, that's an important part of this entire experience here as well. You have all these, you have five projectors. What about the audio?
Well, everything about this building is very impressive. The thing that I love the most is the audio. In 2014, we installed a Dolby Atmos sound array powered by Meyers sound speakers. And honestly, outside of post-production screening rooms in Hollywood, I think this is the best sounding auditorium you can find.
So just quickly, how do you think the overall theater design is important to the overall theater experience? What is the subconscious impact people will get?
Well, if you look out into our room, you can see that this building was built for one specific purpose, and that was watching films. Our screen fills the room top to bottom, left to right. It's the reason why everyone's here.
All right, I'm talking with Seattle Cinerama's Ethan Caldwell. You're listening to GeekWire. We'll be right back after a break. We're back, and we're talking with Ethan Caldwell of Seattle Cinerama about Cinerama's history and its place in the science fiction and fantasy communities and pop culture of Seattle. And we're standing in the projection room with five projectors in front of us, some pretty cool historic footage that I dare not get too close of an unrestored print of 2001 A Space Odyssey. And, you know, it seems like you have a lot to do and from technology standpoint, even with regular film and just even old movies, because right now through the screen, you're doing a little bit of a test run of Mulholland Drive, which is a classic film. But there's even technology in showing an old movie, isn't there?
There is, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can receive films, you know, as I mentioned, 35, 70, or digitally. And of course, if you receive the analog print, some people think it's as simple as just shining some light through it, but there's so much more that goes into it. We have a union projectionist who handles pretty much all of our film. I should give him a shout-out, Aaron Ridenour. I think he's the best projectionist on the planet, and we are really, really lucky to have him. And he handles pretty much all of our festival screenings and absolutely kills it. He has taken our film projection to the next level. But in terms of the digital projection, yeah, there's a lot that goes into that as well. You know, it's not as simple as just throwing in a DVD or something and hitting play. You know, we have a lot of calibrations that we make on a daily and weekly basis. We have to upload films, and then, of course, they're encrypted films, so we have to get digital encryption keys that have to match up. They're only open for a very short window of time for us to show our film, and so if we're going to make any modifications, we have to do it during that window of time that the studio allows us to view it. So it can be difficult at times.
And it can be a real challenge, I would assume, too, when you're doing a festival. For example, this year you have, over the summer period, about three different festivals. And so you're dealing with lots of different movies, lots of different studios, lots of different things in general, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So three of our 5 weeks during the summer film festival season is all digital content. And it's over 30 films in 3 weeks. And there's just a lot of juggling involved. You're right, it can be quite difficult.
Let's walk back out into the theater. I want to talk about something else out here that people may not think about. You mentioned earlier the sound system, or the, I should say, the sound technology, which is the Dolby Atmos sound technology. We talked about the different types of digital projection and other kinds of projection. But what about the speakers? That's something people don't think about, is it?
It's not. And back in 2014, when we were doing research on what we were going to install during our renovation, you know, we demoed lots of different speakers. We had lots of speakers flown into the Seattle area. We were hanging them all over the auditorium. It was actually a lot of fun. And the one speaker manufacturer that we landed on was Meyer Sound. And these guys are wizards, truly wizards. Not a lot of people know this about them, but they can recreate really any auditorium. So if they were to come in here, they could program our auditorium to sound like the Vienna Opera House if they wanted to. And it's really, really fascinating stuff. And so using Meyer speakers, we're able to play sound anywhere in our auditorium in a three-dimensional space.
How many speakers are there? Not to put you on the spot, but how many are out here in the theater itself?
I believe there's 128 speakers. We have 10 low-frequency speakers and, I believe, 8 subwoofers in the house.
Let's continue on walking down through the theater here, again, past the red seats that recline. The fact that I can actually, I'm not walking between. Try this at any normal theater. It's very hard. I'm walking easily between two rows of seats that are not on an aisle to get all the way down to the base here. And looking up, that looks like a, is that supposed to be a star field? Is that what the overhead lighting is supposed to emulate?
It is, yeah. That's one of my favorite aspects of the theater. You walk in and it's so beautiful, and it honestly, it acts like a palate cleanser, if you will.
Let's talk a bit about the history of Seattle Cinerama. You know, we've mentioned that it opened in 1963, a year after the World's Fair, that it was remodeled very extensively in 2014, but it wasn't a straight line to this happy outcome now, was it?
No, it wasn't. And this is where our owner comes into play. We are so very lucky to have him. The theater was slated for demolition in the late 90s, and Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, this was one of his childhood theaters. He absolutely loves the place, and he stepped in and saved it. And under his leadership, we have seen multiple renovations to bring the theater current with industry standards, and we are currently industry leaders in projection and sound.
What would somebody coming in here prior to demolition, or near demolition, I should say, in the late 90s, do you have any historic photos or anything of what this place looked like back then and how it compares to today?
I was in middle school, I believe, at the time, so I don't have any memory of it. But yeah, there are certainly lots of photos floating around, and parts of the theater were in disrepair, unfortunately. But it has been restored very lovingly to a place where Seattle moviegoers really want to be. We want to be everyone's first choice for film, and I think we are.
Let's talk a bit about the film selection. I think that would be of interest to folks because, you know, Cinerama has been known for running a lot of really good first-run science fiction, fantasy films, along with superhero movies, some good action movies. What makes a movie a Cinerama movie?
Well, I personally think that every movie is a Cinerama movie.
Okay, but setting that aside, what criteria would you look at to say, yeah, we really should show this here?
Well, you know, in our current state, obviously, a film mixed for Atmos plays perfectly in our house. A film with vibrant colors plays really well off of our laser projection system. But really, anything that's big and loud, it needs to be shown here.
Do you have a checklist you go through when you're picking films, you and the folks who pull that all together to keep you on? Or is it more gut? Is it more like, this is great?
There is some research into it, but yeah, some of it is a gut feeling. Also, you know, some of these films program themselves. It's not like we're ever going to skip a Star Wars film. It's not like we're going to skip an Avengers film. There are certain things that need to be shown here.
What role do cult movies play in what you show here? Because I do know you have the several different festivals, and it's almost as though if there is a revival of something key like 2001: A Space Odyssey, as we were talking about earlier, people would be disappointed if it didn't show here at Cinerama.
Yeah. People look to us for 2001. That's for sure. We do love festival seasons because it gives us a chance to get creative with our programming. Currently, we're sitting in the auditorium, and a tech screening of Mulholland Drive is on screen. We have a David Lynch double feature tonight for our Sound and Vision Festival. And as I said, you know, we just love doing this, and it allows us to show movies to all of the cinephiles in Seattle who might not normally be able to see this stuff. Last night, we had a screening of WALL-E, and there were so many young moviegoers seeing a film for the very first time in our house, and moments like that are really what separates Cinerama from other theaters.
Before we leave the theater itself, and it's, again, the red seats, the curved screen, sort of the semi-starfield in the wavy panels overhead, is there any little technological touch or decorative touch that people may not notice in the theater itself that we have not touched upon ourselves?
So as we mentioned earlier, you know, the room looks like a spaceship, but looking around, every single detail in the room has very important acoustic properties to the sound of the room, from the seats to the carpet to the drapes to the acoustic panels to the acoustic wave on the ceiling. It's all beautiful, but it all serves a very important purpose.
All right, we're talking with Ethan Caldwell, manager of Seattle Cinerama. You can find out more by going to cinerama.com, and we'll be right back after a break. We're back on GeekWire.com with Ethan Caldwell at the Seattle Cinerama, and we've just been taking our tour. We started on the outside with the facade. We walked through the lobby. We went into the theater itself, into the very interesting projection room, which has technologies both new and old, including something called film, which I heard was big one day. And before we go back into the lobby itself, Ethan, one thing that's above us is the balcony, and we're not going to walk into there, but is the experience of the balcony any different for people who attend?
It is, yeah. My favorite spot to sit is actually the front row of the balcony. You sit up there, and the screen perfectly fills your field of vision, and as we mentioned earlier, you know, we have our starry ceiling, and so I like to sit up there among the stars watching films.
All right, that's good to know. I'll have to try that sometime. So we're heading back down the stairs into the main lobby. And the main lobby, for those who haven't been here or just haven't been here perhaps as much as I have, the main thing on both sides of this lobby are a couple of glass cases that go floor to ceiling. What's in these cases, Ethan?
What we're looking at here are costumes used in countless films. As we mentioned earlier, our owner, he's a big cinephile, and he's also a collector of unique costumes and memorabilia, and that's what we're looking at right now.
So these come from a personal collection? Do they come from the Museum of Popular Culture? Do they come from many different places? How do you figure out what you're going to put in a case at any one point in time?
Well, there are many reasons for why we have these costumes in the cases. A couple years back, we were premiering a Star Wars film, and Paul has some Star Wars costumes. He has the original Darth Vader costume worn by David Prowse in Empire Strikes Back. And so, of course, we had to bring that in with some Stormtrooper costumes that were actually used on screen during Empire Strikes Back. Last year, we had a revival week of Blade Runner The Final Cut just before our screenings of Blade Runner 2049. And so we brought in all of Paul's original Blade Runner costumes. And so we try to do it wherever it makes sense.
It just depends on what you're doing, right, at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It does.
How often do they change? Is there a schedule for how often they change? Or literally, is it sort of when the opportunity is right and there's a great convergence of whatever you're showing and what is available to be shown?
We try to freshen them up at least twice a year. But if there is something special coming up, you know, we'll, of course, make some changes.
What are we looking at here? We're on the case sets to the left of the concession stand. These all appear to be female costumes, right? And what are we looking at?
Well, from left to right, we have the Foxy Cleopatra costume worn by Beyonce in Austin Powers. Just to the right of that, we have Posh Spice worn by Victoria Beckham in Spice World. Middle right, we have a costume worn by Rosamund Pike in Pride and Prejudice. And then on the far right, which is my favorite, Buttercup's coral dress worn by Robin Wright in The Princess Bride.
All right, so it is quite the range, shall we say, of cinematic history and women's costumes. And then if we go to the other side of the concession stand, We're going to see a number of four other costumes. And is it usually just costumes? I think I was here once for the showing of Blade Runner, the restored one you were talking about, that there was actually a prop from the movie.
That's correct, yeah. We do have sometimes art. We have props in addition to the costumes. What you're referring to was the video phone used in Blade Runner.
So on this side, we have, I guess these would be male costumes. And can you describe the ones that we're seeing here today?
Yeah, absolutely. So from left to right, we have the Van Helsing costume worn by Hugh Jackman in the 2004 Van Helsing. Middle left, we have Captain Apollo, worn by Richard Hatch in Battlestar Galactica. Middle right, we have an Elder costume in the original Tron film, 1982.
May I say that it's really cheesy looking now when it's not in front of a screen at that era?
I think parts of this may actually be Sharpied.
the black on the on the white background. That's interesting. All right. And what's on the far right?
And on the far right, we have a Peacekeeper costume from the Hunger Games trilogy.
When people come in and see these cases with these costumes, what kind of reaction do you get? Do you have people who come and wonder where they come from, or do they have favorites?
Well, there's two reactions. One, people are incredibly surprised and confused as to why they're here. It's always really special for them. And then the other is people questioning whether or not they're real. Of course they are.
What is the best reaction you've received from somebody seeing the costumes in here?
About 2 months ago, we had someone coming in, clearly a huge Seinfeld fan, and this person noticed that we had the puffy shirt on display, and as soon as they walked in, they yelled, "Jerry, hello!" and ran straight over to it. It was just classic.
All right, so now between both of these cases is, I think, what is the draw for many people. It's the chocolate popcorn. You've got the spaceship on the inside. How would you describe this area?
The spaceship. Yeah, so we have the best tech in town, but everyone talks about the chocolate popcorn. If you look around the menu here, of course, we have your traditional buttered popcorn. We have the chocolate popcorn, and then we have the mixed, which is my personal favorite, and I think most everyone else's.
That actually makes me wonder a bit about the audience mix that comes here. Do you have a lot of people who are repeat viewers?
Yes, we do. We also see a lot of international travelers coming to the theater specifically for us. Earlier this year, we had someone who flew in from Japan specifically to see the Seattle premiere of Solo, A Star Wars Story, because he had seen every other Star Wars film in a Cinerama theater, but never our Cinerama theater.
How many Cinerama theaters are left, actually, or at least they have the name Cinerama in them? I don't put you on the spot, but I'm kind of curious about that.
So there are three theaters that can still project Cinerama films, but only two Cinerama theaters left, us here in Seattle and the ArcLight down in Hollywood.
So that makes you, in a way, that type of international tourism destination. If somebody wants to go to a Cinerama theater, there's not a lot of spots they can go to.
Yeah, absolutely. We are, in a sense, an endangered species.
So before we wrap up, I'd like to walk to this area. Now, I call this the upper lobby. It probably has a real name. What is this area here? We're walking back past a Buttercup, as you wish, and we're going past the pop-up shop, which is the Cinerama pop-up shop, which is a small little area. I'd say it's about, 10 by 8 feet, which has sweatshirts and beanies and water bottles that you can buy, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we have lots of cool little items for sale at our merch stand. Highly recommend picking one up.
Before we wrap up, I do want to ask about this projector that we're looking at, because we saw a bunch of other projectors in the projection room. It's weird to see a projector in this area, which I guess I'll call the upper lobby still. What is this?
So what we're looking at is an original Taddeo projector, which I actually find kind of ironic, it being here in our lobby, because Taddeo was Cinerama's direct competition. Cinerama was three strips of film, and Taddeo was marketed as being Cinerama out of one hole. And so it was one projector, one strip of film, and this particular Taddeo 70mm projector used to live here. And we don't have a use for it anymore because we're using our dual 35-70mm projectors upstairs, and there's just not enough space in our projection room, to be honest. So it lives down here, and it's a very cool piece of memorabilia. It's a very cool piece of history.
Now, I don't like to necessarily get you in a competitive situation here, but down the street is another big screen theater called the Pacific Science Center IMAX. And when people look at going to see really interesting films, big screen films like Avengers or 2001 or whatever else, they perhaps look at both theaters. If you were to do kind of and they both have a good place, how would you say you're different?
Sure. Yeah. So, of course, we're the two biggest screens in town. A lot of people think that we have the largest screen in town. That's actually not true. It is the Pacific Science Center IMAX. They have the largest. But what we have is a CinemaScope screen. So it's 2.35:1, and pretty much every seat in the house, our screen will perfectly fill your field of vision, which for me is ideal.
So before we wrap up, I'm curious. You've been here 7-ish years or so, if I'm correct, right?
That's correct, yeah.
If you had a favorite movie that you've seen here over the years that you could watch again and again on the screen, what would it be?
Well, my top 5 movie-going experiences of all time have been watching 2001 A Space Odyssey in here on 70mm.
All 5 are one film?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. It's been fascinating.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been talking with Seattle Cinerama's Ethan Caldwell. Find out more about Cinerama at Cinerama.com. Our producer is Claire McGrain. She's been following me around with a recording device and a wired microphone this entire time. I'm Frank Catalano, GeekWire contributor, and you can find this special series by going to GeekWire.com and searching for PopCast. That's P-O-P-C-A-S-T. Don't forget to subscribe to the GeekWire podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows. Thanks for listening to GeekWire.